The federal government is refusing to heed calls for a royal commission into the Bondi shooting. That's despite pressure from the opposition, a former High Court judge, and some of its own backbenchers. Deputy Prime Minister Richard Marles reiterated yesterday that the federal review of law enforcement and intelligence agencies being conducted by Dennis Richardson would be sufficient.
Royal commissions take years and we need to be acting within weeks. It's really as simple as that. I mean, we've had Gillian Siegel do her report as our special envoy into combating anti-Semitism. We are working on those actions and we want to do that right now.
Mike Pezzullo is a former high-ranking public servant. He served as the Secretary of the Department of Home Affairs until he was dismissed in 2023 following a code of conduct investigation. Mike Pezzullo, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. Now, you're backing these calls for a federal royal commission into the Bondi attack. Why?
For several reasons. One, I agree with His Honour, former Chief Justice French, that there's a moral imperative to do so. It's such a horrific attack on such a large scale. And I think just that alone demands it. Secondly, the powers of a royal commission. And I agree again with His Honour that it should be vested with both Commonwealth and state powers, would really be in the circumstances required to get to the bottom of what's happened. In terms of the question of urgency, which I actually do agree very strongly with the government that there are issues that need to be attended to quickly, there's nothing to stop the royal commission being designed in terms of its letters patent to report more immediately. In fact, I'd report more quickly than the end of April, which is the Richardson deadline. I'd come back with a Royal Commission report by the end of March on any immediate matters that need attention in terms of things like databases, Barbara. So are the relevant databases speaking to one another in terms of firearms, possession and licensing on in relation to movement alerts at the border? There's some media suggestions that both the father and the son travel to Mindanao, for instance. That could be gotten to the bottom of very quickly, I think, as a matter of just objective fact as to whether these databases are properly linked, whether movement alerts are being posted. I would deal with all of that by March. And then to the Prime Minister's point, he made it the other day in the press conference, and I agree with the Prime Minister, some of the questions being raised about endemic anti-Semitism, et cetera, really go to what I think the Prime Minister described as the functioning of Australia. And I think that would take a long time to unpack. How has this extremism become entrenched and embedded? What are the societal drivers? I think that would take a good deal of work, probably beyond March, but I certainly would attend to those immediate and urgent issues before March.
Has there ever been a royal commission conducted in the matter of months?
It really depends on the terms of reference and how they're scoped and shaped by the government of the day. If you're looking to get after complex policy issues, whether it's veteran suicide or aged care and the like, they're the sorts of examples of royal commissions that have been talked about taking a long time. It certainly does take more than a few months. But on these more immediate questions, and royal commissions, because they are in the gift of the executive government, they're a very powerful instrument, can be shaped in terms of both their scope and their timing in accordance with the wishes of the government of the day. And if you said to the commissioners, this is your first area of priority, do it in 2 to 3 months, they would, of course, pursue that instruction accordingly. And Barbara, the reason why we ultimately need a royal commission as opposed to the administrative inquiry that's been proposed is that the actions of the government itself, in order to have transparency with the Australian community, we need to understand what decisions the government took. So ministers would need to be called and spoken to in terms of things like how did they respond to the terror alert change in August of 24, for instance? Were more resources afforded to ASIO? Were more counterterrorism teams put in the field? How did they consider these matters in the NSC, for instance? Only a Royal Commission can get to that level of scrutiny of the government itself. And I'm not saying that to suggest at all that there's any culpability or blame to be assumed in terms of the government. But if you're going to take a broad view of what's gone on here, the actions of everyone from the very top right down to those database issues that I mentioned earlier, they all need to be looked at. And an administrative inquiry cannot get at those issues.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. The former Secretary of the Department of Home Affairs, Mike Pezzullo, is my guest. Chris Minns has announced he'll conduct a state-based royal commission. The Commonwealth has said it will fully comply. Is it what you've just said that you is the main concern as to why you think that would not be enough, because you think that the Commonwealth would need to essentially investigate itself?
Well, in part. I mean, the test would be this. If a New South Wales Royal Commission, for instance, wanted to call the Prime Minister, for instance, to have the Prime Minister give evidence about how his government at the Commonwealth level had dealt with the virulent anti-Semitism, the hatred that we saw first manifest on the steps of the Opera House on the 9th of October, could they do it? Would he? I assume that he would. Given what he said, he would cooperate. But the point being, if the New South Wales state jurisdiction has to reach into those questions, it begs the question as to why the Commonwealth just simply wouldn't cut to the chase and initiate it itself with parallel commissions, as His Honour has said, being put in place so that both Commonwealth and state issues could be examined. I'm particularly troubled. I've been troubled about this for a few days, but I'm particularly troubled by the reporting in The Australian today, which for the first time that I've seen has serving officers who wish to remain anonymous speak openly, although without attribution as to their identities, about the fact that notwithstanding the warnings that were being given to government, they did not act. Now, I don't presume to have a view. I've been out of the system for over 2 years. I don't know how ministers acted. It might be that these officers have got a misplaced perspective. I just don't know. The question, the point, Barbara, is that the matter has to be looked into from the very top right down to those technical database issues and the performance of the teams in the field. The whole end-to-end spectrum of this response has to be examined.
Last year, the Prime Minister shifted ASIO out of the Department of Home Affairs into the AG's department, and that was reversed this year. Do you think that might have been something that inhibited information sharing between ASIO and the AFP?
I've said in others have asked me that. I've said I don't think that those machinery changes, because it's not just the ASIO shift in 24, but more directly and in a sense more concerningly was the earlier breakup of Home Affairs in terms of the law enforcement function being removed in May of 22. I was still the secretary at the time, so I've got direct personal knowledge of this. I think between the gradual breaking down of Home Affairs between 22 and then 24 with the move of ASIO, and full credit to Tony Burke, who said publicly, as I've heard him, that he argued or at least contended to the Prime Minister that should be reversed, and that was done after the most recent election, and Home Affairs is now back together. Did that breaking up and breaking up of coordination and coherence, certainly what I experienced in the 5 years I ran the department whilst it was whole and integrated, did that have any causative effect? Look, I doubt it very much, but again, I'm going to suspend judgment. Did it, however, have a chilling effect on collaboration? Look, possibly. And again, this is one of the questions that have to be examined. And because it goes to the design of government decisions made by ministers, it goes to much higher level concerns than, say, databases, as important as they are. That is why you need a Royal Commission that can interrogate anyone throughout the system.
You've been out of the system for 2 years, as you say, but you were in it for a very long time. In your view, will the Prime Minister eventually call a Royal Commission? Briefly, if you would.
Indeed. Look, that's ultimately a political rather than a bureaucratic question. I was a public servant for all those years. Look, it's a political judgment. I think in the end, you've got an astonishing array of different Australians from different walks of life who organically and simultaneously, and without, it would seem, any, you know, coordination in the back, are just simply coming out instinctively saying this needs to happen. I think in the weight of and the reporting we've seen this morning from serving officers of law enforcement and security agencies, although they're concerned about their anonymity, obviously, I think the weight of community concern and indeed outrage and anger that many people feel, I think ultimately will lead to the right thing being done. But that ultimately is a political question, Barbara.
Mike Pezzullo, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.